again, I am so glad to be home. We were trying to get home from, we were flying out of San Francisco, and when we were getting ready to fly out, they said, oh, well, there might be a slight problem because it looks like Minnesota is closing due to a blizzard. And we think, you know, we're tough. You know, planes can fly and all that stuff. So they said, we'll send you to Denver, and then from Denver, you can get to Minneapolis. So we land in Denver, and we're waiting and waiting and waiting. And if you've ever had this happen, you know the joy of hours and hours in an airport. That's just some of the funnest time you'll ever have, where they have you captive, and so they can charge any price for anything. You know, it's like, here's a hamburger, it's, you know, $27, you know, some stuff like that. And so we're waiting, and then they said, well, we've got some bad news. We're canceling your flight. And again, it's like, oh, great. So it's Saturday. We're supposed to be home Saturday night. I'm supposed to preach on Sunday. And we're not going to make it. So now we stand in the world's slowest line in the world, and we finally get up to the lady who is trying to help us get back home. And she says, okay, you got lots of options here. She says, well, we can fly you from Denver to Chicago, where you could probably wait standby and catch a flight or two and get home, you know, as things open up, maybe on Sunday night. And we're like, we have two kids. It's not like, you know, we, you know, see you kids, you know, hope you get a flight. You know, so that's not gonna work. There might be some days when we would have taken you up on that, but that's not gonna work for this trip. So it's like, well, if you want to stay in Denver, then the soonest we can get you home is Wednesday. Again, this is Saturday, of which then again it would be, you know, you have to find a hotel, and by the way, all of your luggage is gone. So you have the clothes that you have for many days. And we said, okay. Or she said, well, we have another option. Says, we can get you home. You're flying out of San Francisco. You're trying to get to Minneapolis. So we can fly you to Washington, D.C. And then you can wait there for a couple hours, and then we can get you home, if you want to do that, on Monday night or early Tuesday morning. Because, I mean, really, the logical path from San Francisco to Minneapolis is Washington, D.C., if you think about it. I mean, and so we're looking at these options, and they're all confusing. There's nothing that seemed obvious. There's no easy answers. Like, how about just, like, fly me now home? I just want to get home. Well, you could rent a car, but then, you know, you got all this stuff. And so it's all of this stuff that we're just trying to find our path, and yet we're given all of these options, and none of them seem obvious, but yet they're all important. We're trying to get home. We're just trying to get home. And we're trying to say, okay, you know, do we go to Chicago and wait and maybe try to get, you know, people on the same flight? Or, you know, do we go to Washington, D.C. and see both oceans in one trip? I mean, we're joking. We're kind of living out the lyrics to God Bless America. From the mountains to the valleys to the oceans white with foam. And so, you know, we got all these options thrown at us. And where do we go? We're trying to find direction. We're trying to find the way to where we need to go. And it's frustrating, and it's confusing, and it's stressful, and it's a lot like when we're trying to find God's will for our life. Yeah. That we're going, where are you trying to lead us? Where do you want me to go? What do I need to do here? What decision do I need to make? And we're faced with all kinds of options. Do I get married? Do I stay single? Do I go to school? Do I not go to school? Do I choose this occupation or this occupation? Do I, you know, put this first or put this first? Do I buy? Do I sell? Do I move? Do I stay? You know, what choice am I going to make? What choice do I? All of these things that we're trying to find God's will for our life. And we're faced with all of these different options, all of these different things, and it's stressful, it's confusing. We're wondering what we need to do and how we need to do, and are we following God's will? Are we headed in the right direction? And again, it's for our life, it's for our family, it's for our future, it's for our church, all of these. And yet they're all so important. It's not like we can just not make a decision. We have to do something, but what do we do? And as Christians, we want God's will. We want God's plan in our life. But how do we find God's will? Let me just think in your life, where do you need direction from God? Where's an area in your life that you're looking at and saying, you know what, I need some direction. I need a path to be mapped out here. I've got questions. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. I'm faced with a decision, and yet I don't have a clear decision, and yet I'm asking God, Lord, would you show me what I need to do? Show me what your will is, and yet I'm still confused. I'm still wrestling with it. I don't have a clear path. So again, we're faced with decisions. We're faced with options for in our lives, our families, our future, and the path doesn't seem obvious. It can be confusing and yet so important. And so we're asking ourselves the question, how do you discover God's will? And because we struggle with how to answer that question, we often come up with some really bad ways of finding God's will. When we don't know how to find God's will, we fall back into some really crazy ideas of how to find God's will. And you may have known somebody that have tried these, or maybe you have tried these yourself. But again, these are ways that we have tried to find God's will. The first one is to spin the magic Bible wheel. Anybody ever heard of somebody that's done this or done this? It's like, God, I need direction. So you take your Bible and you, boom, open it up, and point to a verse and said, speak to me, Lord. And as crazy as that sounds, we all know somebody that did that and it worked out for them. It's, you know, yay, verily, you know, go to school. I didn't even know that verse was there, but I opened it up and it was right there and God spoke. And we're going, really? Is that how it works? And, you know, we don't hear about the ones that didn't work out right. Do you? I mean, you heard the story about the guy that was saying, Lord, tell me what I need to do. And he grabs his Bible and he spins it and he points to the verse where it says, and Judas went out and hung himself. He said, well, that can't be. I got to do that again. So he takes his Bible and he spins it again. It opens up and he points to the verses, go thou and do likewise. And he's like, Lord, no, this can't be. So I'm going one more time. Third time's the charm. And he spins it and he opens up to the verse and says, do what thou hast to do quickly. Right? Your Bible's not some kind of magic eight ball. Right? That God's will for your life isn't dependent upon you, you know, spinning your Bible and randomly picking out a verse. But yet, so many of us, and maybe we've tried that before. The other one is this, is maybe we get real quiet. And we're in prayer. We get real quiet. Think, the next thing that God lays on my heart is going to be the right thing. And I don't know about you, but usually I'm thinking, I could have some pizza right now, you know. It's like, that's it. God wants me to be a missionary to Italy. Hey, I'm moving, honey. You know, I want felt pizza, and that's what God spoke, you know. And yet, some of us, you know, we do that. We get real quiet and listen for God's voice, you know, that if God actually spoke out loud, we would be so freaked out anyway that we wouldn't even, you know what to do. But like, oh, Lord, just whatever you lay on my heart next, that's going to be the right thing. And then it just turns weird, and it doesn't work, and we're wondering, God, how come you don't speak to me? Or fleeces, where we put challenges for God to do. You know, we say, God, if I get the promotion, then you want me to stay. Lord, so, you know, here it is. If the promotion is mine, then it must be that I am going to stay. Here it is, Lord. And, you know, Lord, if they accept my offer, you know, then I know that this is going to be good. Lord, if the credit card doesn't bounce, then I know that it is your will that I go and buy that. And we put out these fleeces for God to do. I was reading a book on the trip, and a guy was talking about how he was honest. He said, Lord, if you want me to do this, he said he went to his room and there was a picture hanging on his wall and he made it crooked. And he says, Lord, if that's your will, when I wake up in the morning, just let that picture be straight. You know, you can move mountains, Lord, but surely you can straighten a picture. He says he woke up and the picture was still crooked. He said, now I really don't know what to do. You know, did God say no, or just that just didn't work? But we put challenges to God. Or how about this one? The random consequences or the random acts that we suddenly associate as God's will. You know, I was driving down the road and I got 7 green lights. And you know, 7 is God's perfect number, and it go. So God must want me to move because he said go 7 times. So therefore I'm packing up and I'm going. Right? I mean, we're looking for God's will. We're looking for God's will. You know, all I heard was love songs on the radio. So God must, you know, he says, I need to go and ask her to marry me because God was speaking. God was speaking. And we do all of these things, and they sound crazy, but we've probably all heard of somebody that's tried these, or if we're honest, we've tried some kind of variant of this or other thing to try to discover a good thing, to try to discover, God, what is your will for my life? What do you want me to do? And the desire is right. The desire is good. Don't ever lose that desire to want to do what God has for you to do. The problem is we're going about it in the wrong way. The bad news is that if you've tried all these crazy methods, you're probably off and not doing the right thing, not heading the right direction. But the good news is that God's will is not difficult to discover if we do it God's way. God is not trying to trick you. God has a plan for your life and wants desperately for you to fulfill it. And if God wants you to fulfill it, then he would speak clearly and open the doors for you to experience exactly what he has for your life. God is not trying to trick you. God is not making it difficult. God is not saying, well, if you solve these three puzzles, then you can figure it out. God doesn't work that way. He is trying to direct you and lead you. And our problem isn't about God speaking to us. Our problem is we are not going about it God's way. So the next couple of weeks, we are going to look at this question and wrestle this to the ground. And the name of the series that we're talking about is Discovering God's Will for Me. Discovering God's plan, God's direction, God's will for me personally. That I can become all that God wants me to come. That I can fulfill my purpose that he has for me. That I can do what God has called me to do. And I have it with a confidence and a surety that I am doing and living the life that God has planned for me. So we are going to look at this. And here's the thing you're going to discover. It's far easier than you imagined. And again, no Bible roulette or magic eight balls required, all right? Again, we are going to do it God's way, and you will be amazed how when we begin to look from God's perspective, how God begins to speak so clearly, and we begin to see the path so clear before us because God wants us to become what he's called us to become. So tonight we're going to look at the three different types of God's will, and this is important because these work together. These work in harmony. You need to understand that there are three different types of God's will. These are important because they will serve as guides and boundaries for us to keep us in line to hear from God. The first type of God's will is this: God's providential will for me. And this, and God's providential will, is things that God is going to do no matter what. Okay? These things are God's will, and it isn't based upon whether you believe it, whether you obey it, whether you agree with it, doesn't matter. These are things that God is going to do or has done simply because it's what he's going to do, all right? You don't have to ask. You don't have to pray about it. It's going to happen, all right? Some examples being that God is going to send a Messiah into the world. Hey, you didn't have to pray for it. You didn't have to beg for it. You didn't have to believe in it. God says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to robe myself in flesh. I'm coming as a Messiah. I'm coming to die for your sins. That's just going to happen. It's going to happen. Okay? He says, you know what? I'm going to punish sin. I'm going to return. God is coming back. Whether you believe it or not, God is coming back. It's God's will. Other things, and again, this is why it's so important, is this, that God loves you. God loves you. It's just true. It's God's will. It's going to happen. It is in place. Whether you want to accept it or not, God loves you. God is in control. Whether or not it looks like it or not, these are the providential will of God. That God says, look, I'm in control. God says, I love you. God says, I'm returning. God says, I'm creating a place for eternity for you. Okay? Again, it's not based on faith. It's not based on obedience. It's kind of like gravity. Whether you agree with it or not, you will jump up and you will still come back to earth. You can say, well, I don't believe in gravity. I'm gravity agnostic. I don't believe in it. I can't see it. Okay? Where is gravity? Scientists still don't even know how gravity works. And so if science can't prove it, well, I'm against it. Well, great. But if you jump, you will still come down. Okay? It's the same way with God's providential will. There are some things that are going to happen whether or not you believe in it or not. God's returning. There is a rapture. There is a heaven. There is a hell. It's God's will. Okay? But here's the amazing thing, that even though it is so disconnected from us, we don't have to beg God, Lord, please return. He says, I'm coming back. Okay? Even though it's disconnected from us, God still uses people in his providential will. He says, look, I'm going to send a Messiah into the world and nothing can stop it, but Mary, I want to use you. He says, I'm going to build a mighty nation. Okay, I'm going to build a people with my name, and Abraham, I want to use you. So it is important that we know what God is going to do. It's important. It provides one side of our path in finding God's will. And so we find this in the scriptures. That's why it's important you read your Bible. It tells you what God's up to. Shows you what God's going to do. It says, look, I love you. I forgive sins. I died for you. I'm coming back. I'll give you strength. All of these things God's going to do. Okay? We don't need to fret over it. We don't need to fret, God, do you love me or not? I just need to find God's will. Does God love me? Yes, he loves you. Is God in control? It just seems like the world's going crazy. Yes, God is in control. So that's the first type of God's will. God's providential will. He's going to do it no matter what. Okay? The second part, or the second type of God's will, is God's moral will for me. And these are things that God has given us as commands. These are things you don't need to pray about it. You don't need to question it. You don't need to say, God, should I lie? Lord, you know, we're kind of going through a rough time, and you know, that Quick Trip on the corner is, you know, it's not guarded very well. Lord, should I knock off the Quick Trip? I'll pay tithes on it, I promise, you know, but should I knock it off? You know, Lord, should I break the law? Lord, should I cheat on my taxes? You know, you bless me so much. I mean, you're just such a giving God. Look, you don't need to pray about these things, okay? It's God's moral law. That is his will for you, okay? We see all kinds of things in Scripture. That's why we read our Scripture in 1 Thessalonians. It's talking about, you know what, my will is for you to remain morally pure. Okay? God says, look, that's a command. Hey, I want you to live that way. I want you to live your life that way. You don't have to ask. You don't have to question. You don't have to struggle with, oh, do I move in or not? God says, look, there is a way. It's my will. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about this. Obey the government. Pay your taxes. You don't have to worry about, oh, is it God's will for me to, you know, to file this year or not? Yes. And if you haven't, you need to quickly file an extension and pray for God's forgiveness, right? Again, God's moral will. It is his will that we live according to his commands. And again, we find these in Scripture. And we apply them to our life. We just finished a whole 6-week series on what to do when somebody offends us. This is a perfect example of God's moral will for us. Lord, they really offended me. What is your will for me? Should I like ramp up on them? Should I like meet them out in the, you know, parking lot there? Should, you know, want me to slash their tires, Lord? You know, what if I carve, you know, what would Jesus do? You know, in their tire or in the side of their car, you know? You know, key John 3:16 on the side of their vehicle, you know. Lord, is that your will? No. We look to Scripture to find God's will. What does God say? You know what? You humble yourself. Okay? You ask for forgiveness. You put them above you. We learned about this. And what are we learning? We are learning God's will. That's God's will in your life. God's moral will. Again, it's why it's so important that we read Scripture, that we study Scripture, because it is speaking to us. It is giving us the direction that we need to find God's will for me. Again, these two boundaries, God's providential will and God's moral will, serve as like guideposts or what do they call those things along the road? Guardrails. Guardrails. As we discover God's personal will. And as clear as God's moral will would be, there are people that struggle with these. And when we struggle with the first two, it sets us up to miss the third, which is the one that we're all after, and that is God's personal will. These are things that God shows us directly for our life and our situation. This is not sin or not to sin. This is not black or white. This is not, you know, do I hold up the bank or do I, you know, give to missions? It's not those kind of decisions. It's the decisions that are both right. You know, which career do I choose? Do I move or do I stay? Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? Okay, what is your will for me? And again, the path isn't clear, but God's personal will are the things that speak directly to where we are at. And here's the key. The more we know of God's will in other areas, these other two areas, the easier it is to find God's will in the personal area. So many times we find people who want to not follow God's moral will, that want to live according to how they want to live, that want to, you know, say no to God in certain areas and live their life, you know, according to how they see it and step outside of God's will in other areas, and then struggle to find God's will in their personal life. And so, again, I want to stress the importance of these first two. Because we want to jump right in, no matter where we're at, say, God, what do I need to do? Do I need to buy the red one or the blue one? Do I need to accept the job or not accept the job? Do I need to make the purchase or not make the purchase? Do I need to start or stop? Okay, God, would you speak to me? And these first two serve as boundaries, but also there's a hierarchy. If I don't believe that God is in control, if I don't believe that God loves me, then how can I trust him to obey his commands in my life? If I don't believe that God's will is sovereign, that God has a plan, that there is an eternity, that there is a heaven and a hell, how will I ever get to the point where I begin to live my life according to God's principles? You see, I've got to accept the first one, because not accepting the first one, then I can miss the second one. And if I miss the second one, if I'm living my life outside of the protection of the way that God says to live life, then what is happening is I'm taking a drastically different path and I'm missing the opportunities and the doors and the guidance that God is trying to give me in my personal life. That if I'm saying no to God when it comes to the areas of his commands, then how am I ever going to be able to hear God's voice when he begins to speak to me specifically, when I've already shut him out? And see, we argue, we want it backwards. We say, God, give me clear direction right away. Just let me wake up in the morning and, you know, send me an email, God. Here's what I should do today. But God doesn't work that way. There is a process that we have to go through. Do I truly believe that God's providential will is true? And accept God's will in that area for my life, that I believe that God loves me, that I believe that God forgives me. A lot of people struggle with that. Oh, I just don't know if God forgave me or not. You're stuck. You got to start there. God's will for your life is to recognize that God has forgiven you, that God has a salvation for you, that God has a purpose for you, that God has an eternity for you. And from there, you begin to study God's word. And God says, look, there's a way that I want you to live. There's a way that I want you to conduct your moral life and your financial life and your social life and your time and your efforts and all of these things. That there is a way on purpose that I have for you. It's the best way and it is the blessed way. And I want you to accept my will in your life in those areas. And as you do, it will carry you down the road and you will begin to discover and begin to see the doors opening and me speaking to you for the personal will that God says, look, I've led you to this point. This is the step that I want you to take. You see, the problem is again, we see it again, that when people begin to step outside of these other areas, begin to say, you know what, this is okay. You know, I'll obey God in this area, but I'm not going to do this. And I'll say yes to God here, but no to God here. When that begins to happen, when we begin to decide on areas that we will say yes or no to God, and we become the decision maker of what we give God access to, you watch that, and if you've ever experienced that in your life, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It just seems that life begins to fall apart from there. When people begin to step outside of God's will and say, you know what, I'll give him 80%, but the 20% I'm saying no to, you begin to see that life begin to make stupid decision after stupid decision after stupid decision. And sometimes even while they're saying that, you know what, we have found God's will. Leading them off. Why? Because they've ran off the side. They're outside of the boundaries. Outside of the boundaries. It doesn't work like that. See, the problem isn't the problem isn't with God's ability to show his will. It's our ability to be obedient to God's will. To accept God's will and to follow God's will. And here's what I've discovered, and as you begin to search the scriptures and as we go through this study, you'll begin to understand this is the way that God works. God does not give direction for consideration. So many times we say, God, I want your will for my life so that I can consider it. Lord, show me what you want to do because I want to keep it as one of my options. And God doesn't work that way. And this is where we begin to get frustrated because we really want to know what God's will is, but we haven't committed to fully doing it yet. The attitude that allows us to discover God's will is this. Yes, now tell me what you want me to do. Yes, Lord, now you just show me what I need to do. That we commit to say, God, whatever you say, whatever you have, wherever you lead, my answer is yes. And when we begin to take that attitude in God's providential will, in God's moral will, in God's personal will, we begin to find God leading, God directing, God opening, God making the path clear. And there is this sense of God is working, God is leading. There is that affirmation, there is that confirmation that God is leading, God is working. When we allow these three to work in harmony, there is things that God is going to do regardless. There are commands that God has caused me to live by, and yet there is a day-to-day following that I allow my life to be led by God. And it happens not by consideration, but by participation. I think we have it on for your notes. It says this, that participation, not consideration, brings clarity. When I begin to obey God's will, when I begin to seek God's will, when I begin to do what God tells me to do, I find clarity, not the other way around. There's a scripture that is a popular passage, and I think we could probably quote this, but yet it summarizes what we're talking about here tonight. And it says this, it's in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with what? All, everything, 100%, everything, every area. Trust in the Lord with everything. It's not, I want to keep some options open. It's not, well, you know, I appreciate that, but now it's just not a good time for me. It's not, Lord, I thank you for that, but, you know, there's some other things that I think I've got a better grasp on right now. No, it doesn't work that way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And what's it say? And lean not on your own understanding. Turn to somebody and tell them, I'm not smart enough. Don't try to figure it out. Seriously, okay, let me just stop here for a minute because there are some things that God asks us to do that absolutely are crazy. I mean, if you think about it, if you try to understand them, God says, you want me to bless your finances? I want you to give money away. Wait. If you want me to have more, then I should give more? Yeah. Wouldn't I have less if I give more? No. Lord, you need a remedial math course, right? Because it doesn't work that way. But here's the thing. Talk to anybody that understands the principle of tithing and giving and sacrificial giving in their life, and you'll say, I understand it. I tell you, my life is blessed because I take God at his word, even though it makes no sense. God says, look, I want you to live within these boundaries. There are certain things in your lifestyle. Stay away from those. There are certain aspects of life that you just don't do those. There are certain things in your life that you need to do. You need to serve. You need to love. You need to do things in your life. You need to make these a priority. And if you try to make them rational and if you try to figure them out, they're not going to make sense. And he says, look, trust in the Lord with everything, even when it doesn't make sense. But if God's word says it, okay, God, I'll take you at your word. I will trust you with everything, even though in the moment I don't understand it. He goes on, and in all your ways, in every area, in your personal life, in your family, in your social life, in your online life, in your work life, in your time, in every area, acknowledge him. Mean this, that in every area of your life, you are doing and living according to his principles and his commands. That in all your ways, acknowledge him. And if we do these things, then what is the promise? And he shall direct your path. You want to find God's will? You want God to direct your life? Then clear. Trust the Lord with everything, all your heart. And even when it doesn't make sense, but in every single area of your life, acknowledge his way, his principle, his path. Don't play let's make a deal with God. Don't do the 80-20. Don't do the God is my co-pilot. Okay? Doesn't work like that. It's all in. Because when it is all in, then God says, then I direct your path. Then I make your path clear. I tell you, you know what? You're going to avoid some things. I'm going to steer you around some things. There's going to be some choices that are going to be very clear to you. There's going to be some routes that you, dark places that you don't have to go through because you're following my path. Our problem is we want to trust the Lord with most of our heart when it makes sense to, and in the ways that work for us, we acknowledge him and we want God to show us his way. And it doesn't work that way. We're trying to write our own scripture. And that's the uninspired version. It doesn't work. But God says, I've got a plan for you. I've got a path for you. But it starts here. So when we want to find God's will, I think I wrote it this way. That next screen is this. Here's the takeaway. Be faithful in the areas you know to discover those you don't. Be faithful in the areas you know to discover those you don't. Oh, what does God have for my life? Well, what do you know that he wants you to do now? Well, I know he wants me to live this way and conduct my life this way and spend my time this way. Well, start there. Start there. That's the path to get you there. Well, what about this decision? Yeah, okay, yep. But you know what? Start with what you know to discover what you don't. And so as we seek God's will, we're really living between those guardrails of God's providential will and God's moral will. But here's what we begin to discover, and we're going to see this as we go through this study. As we begin to discover God's will for our life, something begins to change in our heart. Because here's the thing, God is more interested in you getting to know him than you getting to know his will for you. And we begin to discover this. It's all about a relationship that God wants to have with you. God doesn't want to be just some kind of big cosmic GPS. He says, look, I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to love me. And I want you to feel the love that I have for you. I want to be there for you. I want to be that strength for you. I want to for you to know me, for there to be a closeness, not a distance, not some kind of something you just do on Sunday and just sit through and or just something that you claim to be or a title that you have on your life or something that you associate with. But I want this to be personal. I want this to be intimate. That's what it's about. And when we get that as the focus, when we begin to understand that, then God's will begins to become so clear, because it's about this, that God's ultimate will for you is to have a loving relationship with him. And if we keep that first and foremost, then we find ourselves and say, God, I trust you with all my heart, even when I don't understand it. And in every area of my life, Lord, I want to do it your way, because I so desperately need you to walk with me through this life. And God says, that's it. That's how you discover God's will. That's not to spin the Bible. You don't got to put your pictures crooked in the morning. Okay? You don't have to wait for 10, you know, stoplights to all turn red for God to, no, it doesn't work that way. It's following God's will, God's path. All right? So again, this is the introduction, and over the next couple of weeks, we're going to dig deeper in this. And as a result of this study, it's going to be easy. It's going to be clear. But here's the thing I know. There is never a time in your life where you don't need God's direction in your life. There is never a time in your life where you can say, God, I got this. I'll coast for a while. We need God's direction every single decision that we make. And God's saying, I got a plan for you. I got a purpose for you. Follow.